tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday, the 12th of March, 2026, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Well, what an exciting week we are having with all that's happening over in the Middle East at the moment and in Iran. And who better to discuss this topic with than our resident geopolitical expert, Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson from RussJournal.org. Matt, good day, sir. How are you doing?
Well, I'm happy to say that I'm feeling better than before I got sick. We have a guest today. Marcel is on my lap. He's spending most of his time there. I'm not sure of his opinions on this, but if he says something, I will translate it for you. But my health is, as of right now, is excellent, and I'm feeling very good and very motivated, especially with everything going on. I can't believe, 10 years ago, if you would have told me this, what's happening with Zionism and the criticism of Israel, I wouldn't have believed you. But this is, politically speaking, a wonderful time to be alive.
It is. It's quite amazing, really. Even Tucker Carlson talking about Israeli control of the media. I think about 75% of the British population do not support this war in Iran. Even the main Zionist news channels like GB News are having to walk back on what they were originally saying. Nigel Farage is now no longer supportive of this war in the Middle East. And Donald Trump looks like a different man now that I see him. All the joy and ebullience that he used to have is no longer there. Things are changing. And today what we're going to do is we're going to have a look at what's coming out of Iran at the moment. We have three news articles from Press TV talking about the lack of weaponry amongst the Americans. And we'll start this off actually with a quote from Senator Lindsey Graham from a Fox News interview. And he is quoted as saying, "When Iran falls, everything in the Middle East will change and we'll make a ton of money." And that's being quoted everywhere. And it really does show this capitalist mindset, I think. Matt, do you want to comment on this quote before we get into the main article proper?
Lindsey Graham initially used to hide this kind of motivation. But as he gets older and as he knows he doesn't have the support of the right wing in this country, he's just leaning into his identity, as this rotten neocon. And these quotes are getting more common. I've quoted him these outrageous things before. He almost has like a role. He's like almost like a jester in the Senate. He is an absolute murderer, piece of garbage, but he's very, very quotable.
So I guess you could say he's playing up to his persona a bit.
Precisely.
As the war against Iran enters its 12th day, or the 13th now, I believe, the US is struggling with severe shortages of air defense missiles. Through a source within the US Army with direct knowledge of American military operations, an assessment was conducted regarding US logistical efforts to transfer weapons from strategic locations around the world to the West Asia region. The source revealed to Press TV that US forces are racing to transport weapons from other global strategic theaters to the region amidst rapidly dwindling resources, a direct consequence of Iran's powerful retaliatory strikes under Operation True Promise 4. The emergency redeployment comes as all Iranian drone and missile strikes in recent days have successfully struck their targets, both in the occupied territories and at US military bases across the region, exposing critical gaps in American air defense capabilities. These setbacks have prompted President Donald Trump to urgently appeal to European and Southeast Asian allies for assistance, only to be met with widespread refusal. According to the assessment, regional stockpiles of US air defense missiles have been severely depleted, leaving existing systems unable to intercept ongoing retaliatory missile and drone attacks by Iran and members of the regional axis of resistance. In response to the mounting crisis, Trump has launched an intensive diplomatic pressure campaign, placing telephone calls to leaders of several European and Southeast Asian nations. During these conversations, an angry US president expressed deep frustration over their reluctance to join the war effort. He demanded that allies dispatch their warships and deploy US-made radar systems to assist in intercepting Iranian and resistance axis missiles. The response from allied capitals, however, has been overwhelmingly negative. Only one leader, facing intense domestic pressure from their population and political parties, agreed to consider the request. Three other countries flatly rejected Trump's appeal. Now, I find it interesting that they say here that all of their attacks hit the targets, because I have seen a lot of their missiles and drones being shot down. But I guess what they're saying is, despite a large number of them being shot down, we are still managing to hit our target. Or perhaps that's a bit of propaganda there, saying that they've managed to hit every target. And I'm also wondering, who was this one leader then that has decided to join up with this war of aggression against Iran, Matt? Do you know?
I searched for this. It wasn't obvious who it was. They do this all the time on press TV. But even if whoever it is, it really doesn't matter, because the intense tip, you know, this is an odd, you know, this is of course a translation. It's odd wording, but intense domestic pressure, meaning negatively, there is no country where there's support for this other than, of course, Israel. But this does not sound like the rhetoric of someone who's winning. This sounds like exactly like, we're desperate, we need your help. Donald Trump has gone to Japan and South Korea, as a lot of people know. They want our missiles that we've sent to them back. And they're iffy about that, South Korea being one. And that's even unpopular. I've been talking about the ammunition issue in my book on the Ukraine war that just came out. I go on and on about it. So things are a lot worse, I think, than they're even admitting. They're probably going to other like THAAD and other platforms. This has been an ongoing problem. This is pure desperation. As you even mentioned, Donald Trump doesn't look himself. He's not acting like himself. He is becoming Vladimir Zelensky. And as I mentioned, I commented that no one needs a military source to know any of this. This has been a huge problem for a long time. As far as the Iranian missiles, the barrage is so severe. I've seen the satellite pictures. The American bases are smoking. They're either badly damaged or destroyed. American soldiers have been seen kind of wandering around, checking into hotels and things like that, because they have nowhere to go. The radar systems that connect all of this have been destroyed, which is tens of billions of dollars. The ammunition shortage, though, and I want to say the manpower shortage as well, not to mention morale, is one of the biggest problems here. Iran is, and of course, you know, we predicted all of this at one point. It is such a, Iran has been waiting for this, begging for this. Everything they have is deep under the mountains. They've perfected these rail cars that bring the launcher out, shoot, 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 and then go back under the mountain again. They could withstand any kind of barrage. It's a perfect country. It's a perfect topography. So it's really extraordinary. And this isn't Iraq. Iran has the world support. Russia has been sending, and I got upset with Paul Craig Roberts. Paul Craig Roberts says that China and Russia have abandoned Iran. And I have everything that both countries have sent and are sending, the most expensive, you know, fighters and very expensive radars and everything else. But as of now, the U.S., from the point of view of their radar system, they're going blind. And now, of course, the countries that host American bases. I mean, Bahrain is a majority Shiite. Doesn't seem to be a great place for a base. And men who are being sent over there, I can't imagine them even wanting to do it. And they also said, we are waiting for the Navy to come over and escort ships through the straits. In other words, well, we got some surprises for you. They're just getting started here. Trump trying to get a ceasefire. All of this, none of this suggests that that the U.S. is winning. We know that they're not. We know that they're desperate. And this is what Trump's going to be known for. He has destroyed his presidency. Anything decent that he's done before has been wiped out. And it's a complete defeat. Of course, Iran has suffered pain as well, as it would in any war, but not like the Israelis. And that he's attacking settlers. Iran is attacking settlers in the occupied territories who have killed God knows how many people, innocent Arabs. That's just something more to be happy about. The U.S. is losing. This is what happens when a president ignores his own advisors in the Pentagon and listens only to Netanyahu. And I think the relations between Jews and Gentiles over this may have changed permanently.
Well, I think it's interesting you bring up comparison to Zelensky there. I mean, that is quite an interesting role reversal. But I think one other thing that this shows is that they were giving all their weapons away to Zelensky. So they cannot have had this plan of going into Iran until Donald Trump took the presidency, because Biden was giving away all of these weapons. And America is not in a position to be prosecuting a war because they've been given away all their weapons. And possibly this might be why Trump was so annoyed about Ukraine and not wanting to give them more weapons, because he wanted to save them all for attacking Iran. Well, the diplomatic rebuff exposes growing international reluctance to become entangled in the widening war, which was imposed on Iran on February 28th, following the assassination of leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayed Ali Khamenei, and several senior military commanders. Military analysts suggest the refusals reflect broader concerns among U.S. allies about being drawn into a protracted war with unpredictable consequences for global energy supplies and regional stability. The logistical strain on American forces continues to intensify as the war shows no signs of de-escalation. Iranian armed forces have so far launched 37 waves of missile and drone strikes against the Israeli regime and U.S. bases in the region. The U.S. military is facing a historic challenge as it attempts to counter Iran's vast arsenal of low-cost drones and ballistic missiles, says a new report. Nearly 2 weeks into the war against the Islamic Republic, Tehran has managed to significantly strain American military inventories, Bloomberg reported, citing military experts and Pentagon officials. American forces have been forced to dig deep into inventories of expensive, hard-to-replace interceptors to counter the Iranian barrage. It stated that the U.S. and its Persian Gulf allies have fired over 1,000 Patriot PAC-3 interceptors, nearly double the annual production capacity of these weapons. The United States led the long-range precision strike revolution, and this is the first war where we are seeing the adversary have that kind of capability, Bloomberg quoted Kelly Grieco, a senior fellow at the Stimson Center. It is putting stress on the system that we haven't seen before, Grieco added. And you've added there, it seems like they've just discovered that Iran is a first world motivated and very well trained country. And of course, this is something that you've been saying for a long time, Matt, that Iran is a first world country, and it's not going to be a pushover if America decides to make war against them. What do you make of what's being said here? I mean, I'm quite surprised that it's Bloomberg that are actually saying this. So it's not like we're just quoting Iranian sources. They are actually quoting Bloomberg as saying that America has already burned through 2 years' worth of production of these Patriot missiles. I mean, what do you make of what's being said here, Matt?
Well, I've always known that, you know, journalists and these so-called scholars are very sheltered. He apparently just discovered this. Of course, we've been saying it for a very long time. It's in my Ukraine book in great detail. So whatever they're saying, we know it's 10 times worse. The PAC-3 are the most advanced of the Patriot, the most expensive, 1,000 of them. Now, the total number is a state secret, not just of the missiles, but the launchers. We say that I know that Iran is a first world country. It's scientific establishment, it's economy. It's very, you know, a high tech sector. It's 100% literacy, the top scientific universities and technical universities on the planet. And people don't know this. And I think the U.S. went in there thinking that this was, you know, that this was Ghana or Zaire. And it would just be over soon. Now, of course, I say that for every war. And it, of course, is never true. And yet journalists and everyone else believes it. I think increasingly that's no longer the case. But journalists say this over and over again. And, of course, every time they're shocked. I think whatever they're saying, it is much, much worse. And when they talk about low cost drones and missiles, let's be clear here. It means that they're produced by state owned firms. I mean, of course, you know, Iran has its own production for all this stuff. You know, they're not totally dependent on the outside. But most of these military industrial complexes, like in Russia, China, and in Iran, are state owned. They're not for-profit firms like, you know, McDonnell Douglas or Boeing or any of this, Raytheon, General Electric. And that's what drives the price up. And I know Donald Trump had a meeting with the executives of some of these firms, Lockheed Martin, seeing how they could increase production. And they simply can't. Don't forget, a lot of this stuff has been outsourced. You know, these companies aren't immune to outsourcing, so they're totally dependent. And yet you have, you know, and the patriotism, the nationalism, the motivation of the Iranian population. I mean, even if they had a problem with the government before, you know, they're seeing, you know, people killed all over the place. The riot stuff is nonsense. No one was actually killed there. And that's a separate story, I know. But, and Bloomberg, that's funny. You know, they're almost... You know, I think what's going to happen is Donald Trump is just going to say we've destroyed the whole place. There's no targets left, and we're getting out and declare victory, no matter what the reality is. But he is doing everything he can to have a ceasefire. Now, for the U.S., a ceasefire is just a way to regroup and fight again. It's just a strategic matter. But there's no way the Iranians are going to be fooled here. They are prepared for this. They've been waiting for this. And they have, you know, if they lose commanders, there's someone right there, like a machine, to replace them. And they've been planning for that too for a long time. So this is, you know, this is why we're seeing Trump the way he was. And I've never, this is probably, yeah, it's historic in the sense this is the first time this has been an issue, in American history, where the ammunition is just run out and the capacity to replace them simply doesn't exist. This was a crisis, you know, 3 years ago, as you said, giving away all these weapons, Europe giving away its weapons, and not just to Ukraine, but to Israel and Taiwan. There is absolutely nothing left. And so they're relying on the Israelis, and they're begging other countries to replace American losses, which are substantial.
So Iran has nationalized its military industry so it can produce these weapons fairly cheaply, whereas America has privatized them and is paying through the nose for them as well. I mean, that's another factor that I hadn't thought of. Well, a senior spokesman for Iran's armed forces says the United States is deliberately using civilian populations in neighboring countries as human shields to protect American troops and military equipment from Iranian retaliatory strikes. Iranian armed forces have been carrying out retaliatory attacks on U.S. military assets in regional countries since the U.S. started its unprovoked war of aggression against Iran on February 28th. Just after the U.S.-Israeli airstrikes began, Iran launched more than 300 ballistic missiles at U.S. assets around the Persian Gulf, along with streams of Shahed one-way attack weapons, according to the report. The analysis highlighted a staggering cost imbalance. While each Iranian Shahed drone costs between $20,000 and $50,000, the Patriot missiles used to down them cost approximately $4 million each. Patriot missiles are a part of a system. And we now have a quote here from your book, Matt. Borges Splashini Krovyu, The Foundations and Causes of the Russo-Ukrainian War of 2022 to 2025. Quote, by systems, Zelensky means battalions, each one comprised of six batteries, with each battery possessing such things as a phased array radar, an engagement control station, expensive and powerful computer systems, integrated with the rest of the military, and a maximum of eight launchers, each of which holds at least four missiles. Even a power supply is a problem in Ukraine, yet these require a lot of it. Say there are six launchers in a single battery. This comes to between 24 and 96 missiles each, depending on the model and type. The Patriot 2 carries four missiles in each launcher, while the more advanced Patriot 3 carries 16, meaning that one battalion must have at a minimum 144 missiles for the Patriot 2, but a staggering 576 for the Patriot 3 or the PAC-3. The exact number of these battalions is classified. The Pentagon had fewer than 500 launchers in 2010, while the US produced around 10,000 missiles in total. A single battery for the US costs over $1 billion, but they are usually more expensive for export. Domestically, the US is paying $4 million a piece for a single missile, while export customers usually pay around $8 million or more. Close quote. So I think we can see from that how many missiles that America has, because you know how much is being spent on them. I guess you've got generally a good idea of how many that they actually have. Matt, what are your what do you want to expand on here, on your comments here? Do you want to expand on them?
Yeah, this obviously has to do with Ukraine, but now it's very relevant. The point is that Iranian attacks have destroyed a lot of this. You know, launchers are incredibly expensive. Of course, you know, Israel gets a discount, no doubt. So it's not just a matter of missiles. It's a matter of these huge institutions that you need to shoot them. And the Patriot has been a huge disappointment anyway. So it's not just, you know, this is one of the reasons that Iran has destroyed all the radar systems. They know precisely what to hit because these are such complex systems. And there's others, probably a little better than the Patriot. These are incredibly overpriced. But 10,000 missiles, well, that was a while ago. And but that's not the only issue, obviously. You know, in Ukraine, of course, they didn't have crews anymore. It's irrelevant. But the performance of the Patriot has been awful everywhere it's been tried. And the fact that they initially were reliant on it meant, you know, both American bases and Israel were badly damaged. But the Iranian strikes are destroying a lot of this. Now, Iran has these heavily protected, and they're Russian-made, Iranian-made, and Chinese-made batteries. I think far superior. So we don't really know. And of course, they're spread out all over the empire, which is very, very difficult to get them back. And so this has been a disaster. It's not just a matter of missiles. It's a matter of these huge institutions, and their radar has been destroyed. So even if the missiles were there, it's very difficult for these to function. They're incredibly complex and very expensive systems. And I thought it was very important for people to know that. It's not just, you know, you light a fuse and it goes. And Iran has been very methodical about where to hit. And so these are shooting blind. And unfortunately, you know, American boys are being killed there far larger numbers than the U.S. will admit. And these launchers have been destroyed in far larger numbers than the U.S. will admit, or the Israelis will admit.
I've seen evidence of lots of these radar stations that have been taken out. I mean, that's what the Iranians have been aiming for. But that's quite a cost difference there, isn't it? $4 million for a Patriot missile to take down a $20,000 to $50,000 Iranian missile. I mean, if it was a war of attrition, it's just going to cost America trillions of dollars, while really not costing Iran that much. But missiles, therefore, are not the only issue. It is likely that the entire Patriot arsenal has been exhausted and the US is shifting to other systems. Beyond the Patriot, a radar for the $300 million Terminal High Altitude Area Defense, the THAAD air defense system, the most advanced US ground-based defense, was damaged in Jordan by an Iranian missile strike. The report said the destruction of at least seven MQ-9 Reaper drones by Iran's 358 missiles has challenged the US air supremacy that was seen in previous wars. The Pentagon spent $5.6 billion on munitions alone in just the first 2 days of the war. Replacing these high-demand, low-density precision weapons could take years for the Pentagon due to limited manufacturing capacity. Ankit Panda of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace stated that the Trump administration appears to have underestimated Iran's tolerance for pain and its ability to inflict it in return. Retired Turkish Admiral Kem Gurdinez wrote that the cost of military equipment lost or damaged by the United States during the first week of the war is estimated to be approximately $3 billion. These losses include damage to three AN-TPY-2 missile defense radars, one of which was confirmed to have been completely destroyed, 3 to 4 F-15E Strike Eagle fighter jets, 4 MQ-9 Reaper UAVs, and an AN-FPS-132 early warning radar in Qatar. In addition, it is reported that many SATCOM and SIGINT radomes, which is the circular enclosure protecting the launchers, were destroyed during attacks on US facilities in Kuwait, Bahrain, and Qatar. Keep in mind that this was written after the first 7 days of the war. Much more damage has been done since. The US cannot be trusted to ever reveal its losses, so it is safe to at least double this amount. US Secretary of War Pete Hegseth continues to say that Iran has been, quote, almost completely destroyed, close quote, and that the war is coming to an end. Trump also claims that the war will be a quick and easy victory, yet reality won't budge. It is Israel that is on fire. The purpose of this rhetoric is to permit the US to claim victory and back out. Many in the administration, worried about the upcoming midterms, are demanding he do just this before any more embarrassment occurs. And that is the worry about all of this for me personally. It's that, you know, he's going to do really badly in the midterms and we're going to end up with Democrats back in office in 2 years' time, and they're going to undo everything that Donald Trump has done, and Trump is going to end up a really hated president for destroying his military for the sake of Israel. In fact, the only positive side of this that you can say is that it has meant that more and more people are now aware of specifically Israeli influence, but also Jewish influence on the American administration. It is now impossible to deny this. And it is something that both ethno-nationalists and the left wing are in agreement on. Finally, something at long last. Matt, what do you make of what's being said here?
I've cited this admiral many times before. He has access to things that we don't have, being a NATO admiral. I think doubling this is probably right. And I also, you know, believe that Hegseth, I mean, they're wild exaggerations, are exactly to say they could claim victory and pull out. But of course, it would be a complete surrender if that was the case. It's fun to watch people like this panda in the Carnegie Endowment suddenly realize we've been talking about for so long tolerance for pain, you know, and inflicting pain. And she, you know, it's probably not if it's a man or woman, has just discovered this. We've been talking about it for years, and the light bulbs are going off. You're absolutely right. This is incredible because now there's no denying this. I think the Republicans are going to be destroyed in the midterms basically over this war because so many of them have been gung-ho, but a lot of them have not been, as we all know. But this destruction is massive. And the Turks, of course, are not permitting the U.S. to use a lot of their bases there. Neither are the Spanish. NATO is in serious trouble. But this is serious. This is a total destruction of most of the most important military equipment in the area, and the Iranians are just getting started. And you know what's amazing? The fact that in all of this, all of these attacks, not one school has been hit, and now all the kids killed. Isn't that amazing? How the Iranians can do this, the Americans can. Not one school has gone up in flames, or one hospital, for that matter.
Yeah, it's horrendous. That I mean, just on another vaguely related matter, America was boasting about the fact that they'd set fire to the oil refineries and that the storm drains were all filled up with burning oil, or that there was just a putrid stench of oil everywhere. And what does that mean? Well, it means that Iran is perfectly entitled to just start firing missiles at the oil refineries in all the countries that surround them. I'm just waiting for that to happen. I mean, talk about doing a really stupid thing by bombing their refineries. I mean, it just means that they're going to do the same back, doesn't it?
Well, they've done it already to Israel. They did it to Israel last year, and they're doing it to Israel now. So they have done that. They haven't done it to the Gulf sheikdoms yet. But it's conceivable if they continue to support the U.S. You know that there is now at this point, especially for non-citizens, because most of these monarchies have they're only like 10% of the population are citizens. And many of the non-citizens are Shiites. That's another variable people keep forgetting, that they're serfs, essentially. And so they despise these governments, especially now that their people are getting killed, and they're just waiting for a chance to rise up against these people. What they've done, what the Iran has done to the UAE, which is where a lot of Jews have fled once Israel was attacked last year, is something that they've been absolutely begging for. There's many bases there, even the one in Saudi Arabia, but they've been very careful not to hit anything even remotely civilian, unlike the Americans.
Commander of the Khatam al-Anbiya Central Headquarters, Major General Ali Abdollahi, said on March 8th that the US and Israeli regime have always made miscalculations regarding Iran. Abdollahi stated that the Islamic Republic is in possession of advanced weapons with high precision, which are beyond the enemy's assessment of the country's military power. The general reiterated that Iran will keep the war on with the US and Israel until they regret launching this war. The Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, the IRGC, says it has carried out the 40th wave of its ongoing retaliatory Operation True Promise 4, launching decisive strikes against hostile targets throughout the region. The latest phase of the operation involved the firing of Qadr, Imad, Khaibar Shekan and Fatah missiles against targets in the occupied territories. They stated the operation was designed to maintain continued and sustained fire over a five-hour period. The strikes were conducted jointly with the fighters of Lebanon's Hezbollah resistance movement. The movement cooperated by firing large numbers of attack drones and missiles, the IRGC stated, adding that the combined strikes targeted more than 50 objectives across the occupied territories. This powerful and unified front inflicted painful blows on military bases of the child-killing regime, from the occupied port of Haifa in the north, Tel Aviv in the center, and Beersheba in the south of the occupied territories. as Zionist regime media sources themselves have admitted and confirmed. The launch of missiles from Iran towards Israel has increased noticeably over the past 24 hours, and Zionist casualties have risen exponentially. The deadly strikes are continuing, rendering existence for the Israeli regime's settlers into life from siren to siren and prolonged confinement in shelters, the Corps said. The 40th wave of the Corps' counter-offensive additionally hit US bases in the region, such as Al-Azraq in Jordan and Al-Kharj in Saudi Arabia. The overall situation, the IRGC added, was the most significant outcome of the war, brought about by the lying US President Donald Trump and the malicious Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Earlier, the IRGC also announced carrying out the 39th phase of the reprisal, which it said was staged in memory of the marchers who had sacrificed their lives down the path of preserving the country's strength. The latter phase targeted the criminal and terrorist US Army in the Persian Gulf region with multi-warhead Qadar and Khorram Shahar missiles as well as Imad missiles. The Corps expressed appreciation for the effective, heroic and courageous attacks by the resistance forces. These attacks have created terror in the occupied territories and forced the criminal Zionists into a life of constant sirens and 11 days of confinement. A previous statement had detailed the 38th phase of the retaliation as carried out by the IRGC Navy. The glorious and powerful operation swept away the remaining American military presence in the region. According to the statement, two simultaneous heavy missile strikes targeted the Al-Adiri helicopter base, leaving numerous American troops scattered and sending more than 100 wounded to Al-Jaba and Al-Mubarak hospitals in Kuwait. The IRGC said Iranian missiles and drones also struck key infrastructure at the US base at the Mina Salman port, described as the center of the US Navy's Fifth Fleet in Bahrain. Additional strikes hit Camp Patriot, equipment hangars and troop accommodation and assembly facilities at the Mohammed al-Ahmed and Ali al-Salam naval bases in Kuwait. The Corps concluded the statement by stressing that the confrontation with the United States and the Israeli regime would continue, asserting, "We think only of the enemy's complete surrender, and we will end the war only when the shadow of war is lifted from the country." That's interesting. They're calling for the enemy's complete surrender, and Trump is calling for unconditional surrender from Iran, which effectively means that American troops can just rape Iranian women at will. That's what unconditional surrender means. So possibly Trump is saying that because he'll then scale down the rhetoric. You know, if you're trying to make a deal with someone, at first you offer the lowest amount and then you gradually increase it until you come to an agreement with them. So it may be that he's just trying to do the most extreme thing possible before eventually coming to a deal here. And just one final thing before I pass it back over to you, Matt. There was also this expectation that the Iranian people were all going to rise up and take over the government. And instead, we now have the Ayatollah Khomeini's son, who is apparently more extreme than his father. He is now leading the country, and there's been no signs of anybody rising up. And it does make me wonder, and I'm probably not the first person to say this, but perhaps this uprising of about 3 weeks ago, perhaps that was supposed to be timed to start at this time with these attacks, but for some reason it started 3 weeks early. I mean, it may have been that they had been rumbled, and if they waited any longer, they would have all been arrested before starting the riots and the protests. So it just looks as if this whole plan has been very, very poorly planned from the outset and not executed in a way that looks good on Donald Trump. Anyway, I'll now pass it over to you, Matt. What are your thoughts on these final quotes here?
Well, first of all, the uprisings you mentioned are largely a matter of myth. The recent rally in support of the new Ayatollah, the numbers are ridiculous. It's, you know, like 600,000. The entire country has joined together for the most part. These missiles are as advanced as anyone else that they're sending, you know, all the, you know, the Fatah, these are all for different purposes. they're hitting everything and they're getting through everything. I don't think that, of course, it's going to be just like Afghanistan. They won't call it a surrender, but that's exactly what it's going to be. Netanyahu has to now deal with the fact that his people are being killed in huge numbers, including his most fanatical people in the occupied territories. Over the next few days, if they haven't been destroyed already, American bases are going to be totally destroyed. Now, the Iranians are holding back their hypersonics, which the U.S. still doesn't have, until it's clear that there is no real defenses left. And then they're going to hit the Israel and the U.S. bases with them. And keep in mind, all of this started with the Hamas invasion of Israel. And one of their goals, as I said at the time, was to bring the rest of the world against Israel. And Hezbollah, and I don't think they imagined it would be this huge. And now they have Turkey on their side, much of Europe. And as we know, the populations of Europe and the local populations in these areas, one thing we know is that everything has changed. I mean, the Americans who are being killed in fairly large numbers, no one wants to go over there now. Morale is zero. All of this has been destroyed. And the only thing the Turks are saying is that they're not going to help. This destruction, yes, this is from the Iranian point of view, but they're being very careful. They really don't want to be embarrassed later. The U.S. could make all these crazy claims. The Iranians really would rather not be embarrassed. This is a hearts and minds battle. These Gulf Sheikhdoms are also, assuming they don't fall completely, are going to change their foreign policy. NATO is in trouble. Donald Trump is in trouble. And as it turns out, the Iranians are holding back their best weapons. They haven't even used them yet. That's what I say. They're just getting started. The Abraham Lincoln, the aircraft carrier, is now something like 1,000 miles offshore, because the Iranians have both the Russian and Chinese carrier killer missile, and so it renders them almost obsolete. They can't come too close. For that reason, and they threatened them with it, and it's never been hit before with this. It's very it's low. It flies. It's a huge thing. Enough to sink or badly damage a carrier, not to mention the fact that most of the fighters and fighter bombers on the carriers are non-operational. Massive shortages of pilots and maintenance, maybe a handful are available. And that's why I'm in the middle of writing a book on the condition of the U.S. military. That's been a big issue for me for a long time. I finally decided to put it into a book. And all of the stuff that I talked about in that regard is now showing itself. The U.S. is losing. It's losing badly. These bases have been sitting ducks for years. The Iranians have warned the Americans, and the U.S. did nothing. And now they're being destroyed, and American boys are being killed, unfortunately, in huge numbers due to this irrationality. And again, as I've said, the relations between Jews and Gentiles now, especially in the U.S., has changed. It's so blatant and obvious that American boys are dying for the Israelis, the relations between with the Jews nothing's ever going to be the same, especially in the Middle East and domestically. And Donald Trump has destroyed everything good that he has done prior to this.
Just a question there, Matt. These hypersonic missiles, are they long-range missiles? I mean, we're hearing today in the news that there was a plan for Iran to attack California. And I'm just sort of putting two and two together and saying, well, that's probably referring to these hypersonic missiles. But are they long-range? Could Iran attack California feasibly?
Well, the Russians have long-range hypersonics. But the Iranians are more interested in medium range. I would love for the Iranians to destroy Hollywood and the porn industry, because the porn industry is only in one place. It's in San Bernardino County, and I think to some extent in Las Vegas. That would be wonderful. I mean, how could anyone complain when the U.S. has tried to set Iran on fire? That's what I would love to see. But beyond that, it's not, I don't know. I don't think it's something on the Iranian mind. That may be a desperate, the U.S. simply won't stop, won't pull out, et cetera. That might be an option. But I've not heard that. It sounds like propaganda. Right now, the Iranian priority is maintaining relationships with the Turks, the nuclear arsenal in Pakistan, and destroying the American military presence in the Middle East, and of course, the Israelis. That's their big issue. The U.S. always says that there's going to be this huge uprising. They knew that was not going to be the case. This is not Iraq in 1990. The U.S. is incapable of doing what they did in 1991 with Operation Shield and Desert Shield and Storm. The U.S. is not, the military is nothing like it was back then. So, and Donald Trump has always had this very childlike, naive view of the capabilities of the U.S. military. And he's finding out finally the hard way that that's not the case. And he's been misled by Netanyahu. Maybe he's too stubborn to admit it. But I don't know, maybe subconsciously he knows something has to be done. What that is, I'm thinking that it's something like the Afghanistan surrender. Not a surrender, but it pretty much was, and everyone knew it was. So plus the resistance from Iraq. Iraqis are involved in the war now on Iran's side, Shiites as well as Hezbollah and many other groups as well. And Hamas is still fighting. And they're the ones who started this whole thing, and this has been a huge victory for them. And that's how this whole thing got started. And that's my final thoughts here, Sven, today.
Well, I'll just say there, so it looks like that California threat was probably just being ginned up as a bit of propaganda to try and give some reason for why America is in this war anyway. And as always, we present this stuff to provide a counterbalance to the Western propaganda. So you hear what Pete Hegseth has to say when he does his daily briefing, and that has to be weighed up against what the Iranian Revolutionary Guard has to say when they give their daily briefing. And then hopefully we can arrive at a point closer to the truth than we'll get from listening to either one of these voices on their own. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Matt. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with Grandpa Dan. God bless and hail victory.